our Heavenly Father loves us. And so this morning, I'd like to just talk with you about our Heavenly Father. Now, I'm going to do what Peter said he did. He said he was going to stir up people's minds by way of remembrance. So I doubt I'm going to say anything that's brand new to you, you've never heard. But I want to stir up your mind by way of remembrance, that you might remember really who our Heavenly Father is. Knowing Him is a reality. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 in the high priestly prayer. This is a prayer he prayed in the garden before he was taken to be crucified. And he said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." Knowing God, knowing who He is, and Jesus Christ, who He sent. It's also a matter of maturity. We know from the book of 1 John in chapter 2, John says, "I write to you little children because you've known the Father." And little children have an impression about the Father that's great and wonderful. But then he writes, "I write to you fathers because you've known Him who is from the beginning." There's a whole different understanding as we mature, isn't there? Father is still Father. It's sort of like it is on the earthly realm, isn't it? I mean, there's so many things on the earthly realm that are patterns of what really was taking place in heaven. Because God wanted a family. That's why He created Adam and Eve. And they rebelled, and so He had to go and reclaim the family. But He's a Heavenly Father, and He loves us. And as I was little, my dad was so special. I mean, he's all dads are. And then, as I grew up, my dad was still special, but in a totally different way, because I knew him a whole lot better. I understood him. And like one of the guys said, you find out how smart your dad was once you get older. Mark Twain said he was amazed when he left home at 18, his dad was stupid. And he was amazed when he went back at 25 how much his dad had learned. And it's because we mature and we see the world in a different way. And we see our Lord in a different way, our God in a different way as we walk with Him. Now, in the world, they have different views of God. I have friends who hold to all of these different views. They're not believers, but they hold all these different views about God. I have a friend who thinks God's just a force. Not personal at all, just a force. It's just, he got caught in Star Wars, I think. But just a force that's there. There's no relationship that God has with creation because He's not a person. I have others who think God's a God, but they think He's sort of like an absent landlord. He's not around. He doesn't do anything. He got everything started, and then He sits back and lets us take the ball wherever we want to go with it. He's uncaring for the plight of people. Some think he's the one who demands imperfection, demands perfection. A demander of, should be perfection. He demands perfection, and therefore they don't want to deal with Him because they can't be perfect. They know it. And so they back away from Him. They feel He's harsh in all of His commandments. And yet God says He gives us His commandments so that we might live long on the earth, so we might prosper and it might be good for us. Some think that God is a God who's ready to condemn. He's judgmental in every way and just waiting with a sledgehammer to bash you if you step out of line. And that's how a lot of people view God. It's not accurate, but that's the way that Satan has twisted their minds. And a lot of people think that He's a God who can be manipulated. If you say the right things, you get the right formula. If you do the right, then you can manipulate God into doing things for you. They might not say that, but that's how they live their lives. Others think He's like a blind grandfather. Grandfathers don't do much discipline anyway. Have you noticed that as grandfathers? The things that the children would get spankings for, the grandfathers, "Don't bother, He's fine, don't worry about it," And yet they see Him as that, not caring about what people do that's wrong. But even He's blind, He doesn't even see it. But God's not that way. He recognizes sin, and sin has a horrible, horrible outcome, so He doesn't want us involved in sin. So what is God really like? Well, in the Scriptures, there are terms that God uses to bridge the gap between the eternal and the temporal. Because we have to have these bridges, because God is too great. God is too wonderful. God is too awesome. We're the creature. He's the creator. You know, I often like it. It's like trying to explain to a flea how a computer operates when you try and think about God and us, because God is so far beyond us, and yet He's revealed Himself to us. Aren't you glad He has? And He's used words to help us, like He's a rock. That means in the days when it was written in the Old Testament, the rock wasn't just a piece, something you pick up. It was a big stone that's up there that provides protection from the sun, and you go climb on and get away from people that are wanting to hurt you. He's referred to as a shield, someone who deflects attacks that happens. And He's a fortress, a place we can run and be safe. And He's the sun. That's a kind of interesting thing, isn't it? God, in one of the Psalms, is called, He is our sun. S-O-N. S-U-N. Why is He a sun? Well, He's like the sun is. Without the sun, this world would not exist. You agree with that? We have to have it for so many, many things, and God's that way. He's so essential for life. Well, in the Scriptures, 15 times in the Old Testament, God refers to Himself as Father. And I'd like to look at some of these uses. It's used to show us His nature and how He is towards His people. And I'd like to just look at some of these. The first one is a picture of how God is towards His people. He carries us. I've had grandchildren now. I've had children, and one of the fun things about having children is you're exploring an unknown country, you know, because you don't know what's going to be taking place. And they're all different. Have you noticed that with children? They're never the same. And so it's an unexplored country, and then when you become a grandparent, it's a country you explored already. You know about it. And while the grandchildren are all different, you look at them and all the things you remember of your children that were special to you, you're right, they were special. Because you see them all happening over again. It's really neat. One of the things I've done is I've carried each one of my grandchildren. Carried each one of my children. I remember carrying Brittany. Boy, Brittany was... She's great now. Her name is Brittany Aaron, which means gift of peace. But I got to tell you, for the first couple of years, she was anything but peaceful. She cried almost the whole time for the first couple of years of her life. And so it was just really... And I carried her a lot, walked her a lot. You carry. You know, God says this about Himself. Listen to these words. These come from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 1. Remember, God was dealing with Israel. This was 40 years after they left Egypt. Remember, the first group wouldn't go in because of their lack of faith to take the land? And God now talks to the people that are getting ready to go in. All of them were 20 years old or younger, or many of them not even born, when that event took place. And now God speaks to them through Moses. And Moses says, "The Lord your God, who goes before you, He will fight for you according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place." Isn't that a great thing to know about the Father? He carries us. At what age do we get to where He can't carry us? He's not a human Father. And He carries us. You know what that means? He helped them all. He did things they couldn't do. He provided for them in ways they couldn't provide for themselves. He carried them. And God does that. What a wonderful God. And yet, He says, Moses continues and says, yet, for all that, you do not believe the Lord your God. And I know that broke His heart. Don't you? God wants people to walk with Him and trust Him. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah writes, and he carries forth the same concept. Listen to what he says. He says to, again, the children of Israel of the day, who were not walking with Him, even though He had blessed them and provided for them, he speaks to them, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I made you, I will bear you, I will carry you, and will deliver you." You know when He stops doing that? I don't know what He does in heaven, but down here He doesn't quit. Because He goes to where we have gray hair. I'm getting that way. And He's there to care for us all the time. He carries us. Isn't that a wonderful picture of God? Carrying us and carrying us and providing for us. He is also a God who disciplines us. Now, when you think of discipline, what do you think of? Spanking. Yeah, that's what we always go to first. And yet, most of the discipline that parents do to their children is not spanking. It's training. That's the way the word's used here. It's training and teaching them. I mean, how many of you came out of the womb knowing how to tie your shoes? One. Okay, just one did. Everybody else didn't know how to do that, and we had to be trained. You know, we didn't know how to talk. We didn't know how to walk. We didn't have, and yet, you know, I watch my children with their children as they do like we did, where they just extend their little fingers, and the children hang on to those little fingers, and they learn to walk. You know? And then they hang on to, and you can tell when the child's got walking, but they want to hang on still because they're not really 100% sure, and they keep hanging on. You know, all the person's doing it, I mean, they're just like this, and the kid has a hold of the finger, and their arm's fully extended. They're satisfied. They got a hold of mama or daddy, and they can walk. You know? See, God disciplines us. He said this in Deuteronomy 8 to the same people he was speaking to earlier through Moses. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna. Remember? He took care of them. And why is he doing that? Because he's wanting to train them. He's wanting to show them that he can take care of them, that they do not have to fear. He will take care of them. See, some of you need to understand God will take care of you. You still fear when situations take place, and you do not. God will take care of you. He's a God who does that. That he might make known that man does not live by what? Bread alone. But by every word that proceeds, that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing didn't wear out on you, and your foot didn't swell these 40 years. In other words, they didn't get brand new clothes. You know why? For 40 years, nothing wore out. I mean, that's God doing things supernaturally to take care of them because he loves them and he was teaching them to trust him. He didn't want them to forget that. And Deuteronomy said, then in your heart, that you know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. He trains you. Do you let him do that? You know a lot of people do when God wants to train? They what? One more time?
Run.
Did you hear? They run the other way. They don't need trained. They don't want all of that. And yet God knows what's coming, and so he wants to train them so that they'll be ready for what's taking place. You know? Cindy and I read a book when our children were younger, and the book was called Almost 13. And it was a list of things that you needed to build within the life of a child before they left to go to college. And when they got to be 13 to 18, you had these things that you needed to, they didn't know how to wash their clothes. You know what? They get to college, guess what they're going to need to do? They didn't know how to wash their clothes, they're going to stink a lot. Right? They need to know how to do all kinds of different things. My mom taught me how to clean the bathroom. And I'm thinking, I don't like this. I get to college, and guess what they require of everybody? A thing called college service. Guess what mine was? Cleaning the bathrooms. Not just the toilets, the whole shooting match, you know? And I knew how to do it. And I always got great marks from the RA. You know why? Because I had to learn how to do it. Training. We don't like it, but it really helps us. In the book of Proverbs, God said this through Solomon. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights. In Hebrews, Paul quotes that in Hebrews chapter 12. God disciplines us. God trains us that we might know his ways because he's a good father. One of the things that we've started in our congregation is a thing called Boys to Men, and we get together with the dads and the boys, and the dads teach the boys how to do different things. Do different skills. Because this is something that a father does. He teaches his children how to do different things. The Lord shows compassion on us. Now this is one I really appreciate. He has compassion on us. Psalm 103. Are you familiar with that psalm? That's one of my favorite psalms in the Scriptures. I'm not going to start at the top. I'm going to come on down to verse 7. Listen to what God says in this. Because the author David pushes back to the time of Moses, this event in the wilderness. And he says this, "He," that's the Lord, "made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." People who think that He's ready to judge you and to blast you don't understand who God is. They have a wrong idea of our God. He continues in Psalm 103, verse 9, "He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." Aren't you glad He doesn't? "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love to those who fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." What a loving God who forgives us. And you know how far He removes our sins? As far as the east is from the west. You know, if He'd have changed that, if He said as far as the north is from the south, you know how long far that would have been? 12,000 miles. Because we have a north pole and a south pole. But when you go east, there's no east pole. There's no west pole. If you go east, you'll never start going west. You'll always go east. That's how far He's removed our sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God did when He was explaining that to us that we might understand? And then He says these wonderful words. "As a father shows compassion to his children," this is ESV, in the King James it says, "as a father pitieth his children. As a father shows compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him." And I love this. "Because He knows our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. We're animated dust, and He recognizes that. And He has compassion on us." No, He's not like the other people say He is. This is what our God is like. There's this great passage in the book of Micah where Micah challenges people and says, "Who is like our God who passes over the sins of His people," basically is what he's saying. And then he says this, "He will have compassion on us. He will tread all our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Isn't that wonderful? See, He's a God who deals with us in mercy. And in fact, this passage in Micah says He delights in mercy. If Adam and Eve would have known that, they didn't know that. When they were in the garden, they didn't understand God. And when they sinned, what did they do? Give me that word again. What did they do when they sinned? Ran, yes. They ran away from God, hiding. Why? Because they didn't understand God is a God who delights to show mercy. If they'd understood that, you know what they'd have done? They'd have gone running to Him and said, "Lord, we messed up. We did what You told us not to." Wonder what would have happened if they'd have done that. Well, He's also a God who protects us and defends us, because that's what a dad does. He protects and defends his family. The psalmist says, "Sing to God, sing praises to His name, lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exalt before Him. Father of the fatherless, a protector of widows, is God in His holy habitation." Isn't that great? He protects people. He's for the down and out. If you study the gods of mythology in both Egypt, Rome, and Greece, you know what they did with the people who were down and outers? They squashed them. They held in high esteem those who empowered themselves over others. But the God of heaven, in that way, you know what He does? You know where His habitation is? With the meek and the contrite of heart. He's there to help those who can't help themselves. But it helps me a lot to understand that. As long as I think I can help myself, guess what God will let me do? But He wants you to understand He's different. He's also the God who guides us and who molds us. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 4 says this, Will you not from this time cry to me, my Father? You are the guide of my youth. Do you go to God for guidance? I get a hoot every time I think about Al Sutton. Because he gets up in the morning, and before he goes to work, he asks God which way to go to work. Because he can go several different ways. And he's constantly asking God for... And that seems like a small thing, but that's a major thing. Do you ask God for guidance? Are you coming before Him and say, Lord, I don't know, lead me, show me what to do. Because God wants to be a guide. Did your parents not guide you? Isn't God a great parent who wants to guide us and direct us? He understands we need help. And in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, but now, O Lord, You are our Father, and we are the clay. You're the potter. We're all the work of Your hand. And so we need to come forward and say, Lord, make me into what You want me to be. Because you know what? The Lord knows who you are. And His picture of who you are is always greater than what you think you are. What He wants you to do is always beyond what you can do. I get so tickled at people who go and say, if I give myself over totally to God, then I don't know what He'll do with me. I can tell you what He'll do with you. He'll take you way beyond whatever you could create in yourself. He'll bless you. People say, oh, He might make me go to Africa or India as a missionary. Well, I don't know that He will or not. He might. But I can tell you this. I remember hearing a missionary saying, when I was in college, a missionary came by and he was a missionary in Africa. And he said, and I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, finally, I'll give You everything. Just don't send me to Africa. You know where he spent his life? In Africa. And guess what? When he retired, you guess where he went? Back to Africa, because he had grown a heart for the people there, and that was home. And he said, I'm so happy there. God's a God who does that, because He knows us. He knows who we are. And He blesses us. Well, and then you get to the New Testament. And Jesus really did something. I mean, He really changed things around dramatically. When Jesus came, John writes these words, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus declared the Father. He showed us the Father's heart in a full way. You remember that time He was in the garden and He prays these words, Abba, Father. Remember that? All things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. But you notice how He comes to Him. Abba. Abba. In the Greek language, there are two words. Well, actually, Abba is Aramaic. Abba, and then in Greek, it's Patros. And they both mean the same thing. They mean Father. They're what a little child said when they called out to Daddy. But they've also found, by looking at different things, and it's a phrase that relates great intimacy, but they also found that not only was it used by little children, it was also used by children of any age, even adult children. And so we'd say Father, proper. I mean, I sometimes call my Father Dad. I mean, you have these, it's an intimate thing. Nobody else can call Him that. I can't. There's no evidence that in any of the Jewish communities that led up to the time of Jesus that they ever used this phrase. In the Old Testament, how many times do you remember it was used? 15 times. Close. 15 times in the Old Testament. In the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's used 65 times. In the Gospel of John alone, it's used over 100 times. You see, Jesus wants to help us understand what God's heart towards us is really like. He's a Father who loves us. In fact, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, you remember what Jesus said? When you pray, pray this way. God, we want... No, you remember what He said? Our Father. Father. Why? Because it was important for Jesus that we have this understanding of what God the Father is really like. He's a God who loves us and cares for us. He's a God who wants to carry us. That means He wants to help us all of our life. If you need help and you're not going to the Father, then you've been deceived. He's the one who will help you. He's the one who disciplines us. That means He teaches us. Are you letting Him teach you? Or do you know everything? I don't need to know that. Why not? I already know that. Well, maybe He needs you to understand it better. He's the one who forgives us. I know a lot of Christians that carry a lot of baggage around because they're scared to go to God and say, "Lord, I've sinned." God is a God of major compassion, and you don't have to carry baggage. He loves you. He forgives us all of our sin. He's a Father who guards us and protects us. If you're fearful, if you live in fear, then you don't understand the Father. Because the Father makes it to where you don't ever have to fear. One day He'll take you home. Do you agree with that? Till then, Satan can't get at you. You know why? He protects you. And I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen this picture of Satan, an image of Satan, an image of Jesus, and they're arm wrestling. That is not how it is. Satan's a created being. God is the creator. There's no wrestling that takes place. Satan's defeated. We don't have to fear. The Father's one who guides us and molds us. And if you're not allowing God to direct you in all that you're doing, you're missing out. I mean, there's a marvelous provision here. You can go before the Lord and ask Him, and the Lord God will direct you by His Spirit into what He wants you to do. It's so important. Because if you don't do that, let me tell you what you'll do. You'll become opportunistic. And you'll look for opportunities to do things rather than waiting on the Lord. You will reach into your pocket and you will pull out a credit card instead of waiting on the Lord. You'll do all kinds of things that'll mess up your life because you didn't go to the Lord and ask Him what to do. You understand, don't you? Once you get certain things in play, certain things going, you can't stop them. They keep going and going and going. Best thing to do is to come before the Lord. Lord, what do You want me to do? And follow His direction. Follow His leading. Ask Him for Him to do that. And ask Him to make you into what He wants you to be. You know, I'm 63 years old this year. And God's not finished with me yet. He's still working in me and changing me. And by His grace, I don't quit changing. By His grace, I don't quit learning. I don't want to quit this process until I get to heaven. And then I don't think it quits. I think we continue on in that same process. And then He's a loving parent who wants to have an intimate relationship with me. That's why He created man in the first place, to have relationship with us. It's really sad that some Christians only speak to God a couple times a day. I wonder if you talk to your best friend as often as you speak to God in the day, would they want to still be your best friend? God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. My kids know me. My wife knows me a lot better than my children do. Y'all already know me. My wife really knows me. But you know who really, really knows me? My wife knows me better than my mom and my dad did. But the Lord God of heaven knows me. And He bids me to come that I might know Him. You'll never learn all you can learn about God. But if you spend time with Him, He'll teach you more and more and more about Himself. And every time you learn more about Himself, you know what it does on the inside of you? Changes you. And you live life differently because you know who the Father is. Well, the Father really wants us to know Him. Isn't He wonderful? And on this Father's Day, let's thank God for who He is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You are our Father. We thank You that You chose among all the titles that You have and all the names that You carry that show forth Your character and Your qualities and Your nature. You chose one for Your Son to center in on when He was walking on earth, that we might understand Your heart. Thank You for letting us know that You are our Father, that You care for us and love us with an everlasting love. We thank You that Your thoughts towards us are only for good, not for evil. We thank You that You provide us protection when we run to You so that nothing can harm us. We thank You for who You are. And we thank You so much for allowing us to have a relationship as daughters and sons of You. Help us, Lord, in the frailty of our humanity, when we think that we can go it alone, when we think we don't need Your involvement in our lives. We apologize for those times, Lord. We're sorry for our selfishness. Thank You for Your gracious offer that You will constantly be there for us. And thank You, You make it so easy for us to get into Your presence. All we have to do is focus and we're there with You. Would You bless us, Lord, as we walk in this world for You, that through our lives You might expand Your kingdom, that through our lives You might encourage other believers, that through our lives You might show to the world who You really are. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your deep, deep love of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand, too. God's also like a mother. Remember the passage from Isaiah? Remember what God says? It says, can a mother forget her nursing child? And the answer to that is what? Yes. Have mothers gotten rid of their babies? Sad to say, that can happen in this world. You know what God says? I won't to you. I'll never forget you. In fact, He goes and says, I have, remember the phrase? I have engraved you on My hand. We're His. He'll never forget us. Isn't that great? Well, that's a look at our God. And I think He's a wonderful, wonderful God.